Hey y'all, I'm Danny, and this is Heard. Hi guys, welcome back to Heard the Podcast. I'm your illustrious host. I don't even know what illustrious, what does illustrious mean? Big? You said grand? Ooh, yeah, I like that. Get a mic, J-Rob. Get a mic! I'm your illustrious host, your grand host. You know the drill, guys. You can follow Heard the Podcast on Instagram and Twitter at Heard the Podcast, H-E-R-D the Podcast. We're also on YouTube. Make sure you guys subscribe to our YouTube channel, H-E-R apostrophe D the Podcast. Make sure you guys put that apostrophe in that. Let me see. Can I hear you, J-Rob? Go ahead. Test.
You can.
Test.
You can hear me.
Go ahead.
You can hear me.
I can hear you.
Yes. Illustrious.
Illustrious. And my illustrious engineer in the background with the mic, J-Rob. J-Rob on the track. I kind of wanted to save, like, you know, my words, you know, because I want to be transparent as well on this show.
For sure.
You know, the reason I want to say, like, to say certain things and be transparent is because, you know, I want to be relatable and, like, you know, I want to be realistic and, you know, I want people to learn from my mistakes or learn from the lessons that I've learned, you know, just things like that.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned before on our last episode, I just turned 30, and it's been great. I mean, you know, it's 30 still feels young. I'm still a young woman, whatever.
You are.
But I just, you know, I lived out my 20s, made those mistakes, and, you know, there's going to still be mistakes in your 30s. Don't be, you know, whatever. I'm not, like I say, I'm being realistic. But I just think that I am just more focused on being intentional. And when I say intentional, I'm meaning in the workspace, the professional space, and even, like, in my social space and even relationship-wise. Yeah. I want to be intentional. So, like, I want to... Because, you know, this past week, honestly, J-Rob, this past week has been beating my ass. And it's been a weird week, just weird, like, energies with, like, just people that I'm, like, you know, people that I frequent with, like, just socially or whatever, you know, that I, you know, friends and, like, acquaintances and things like that. And it's been weird with that. And it's just been weird, like, at work. Like, work was, like, really overbearing this week for me. So it was just a lot. This week has been really shaky for me this week. And then also I felt a little down on myself a couple weeks ago, and I had to, like, take a break from social media. And, you know, that's another thing too. You have to remember, like, everything on social media isn't real, or, like, you know, will people just put their best foot forward on social media? So sometimes, you know,
yeah,
you may look at someone else's life and think, like, oh my God, you ain't shit. What are you doing? Right. Like, you're not on this level. And I had one of those moments, I'm not going to lie. And I had to, like, take a little breather from that. So I haven't really been, I don't know if you noticed, but I haven't really been posting on my story that much.
You haven't.
And you notice. And, like, I just, it's just a lot. Like, but with Twitter is cool. Like, Instagram is more so like a thing for me when it comes to, like, my anxiety and, like, you know, when I'm feeling down, like, that really, like, does a number on me. Mm-hmm. Twitter is okay. Like, you know, I can pop my shit or whatever. You know, Twitter is more, I can navigate through Twitter more without being triggered, if that makes sense. Yeah. So, you know, it's that, and it's just, like, I just need to be more mindful of, I'm not perfect in any way. I have my own toxic traits, okay? But I also need to be mindful of who I let in my energy bubble. And if, you know, if they cause anxiety to me, or if they cause any sort of disruption with my just mental peace, mm-hmm, you know, you have to just, like, compartmentalize people. Like, sometimes you have to take people in doses, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm realizing that I have to take people in doses, because, like, you know,
for sure,
a few weeks ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 10 years ago, I would have felt bad for, like, oh, I don't want to, you know, da 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 da. But no, sometimes you have to compartmentalize people. You have to, like, take people in doses, because they can really fuck your shit up. Like,
yeah,
I can be on the phone with somebody, we can have a nice conversation, but the convo can take a turn, and then now just fucked up my whole mood. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, I already know how this person is. I already know what they're capable of when it comes to, like, just their energy and what they exude. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why did I, like, no. Limit these phone, like, you know, I love talking on the phone versus texting, because I feel like texting is more effort. It's more of an effort, in my opinion. Like, I got to make sure I word things right to make sure that you understand, like, how, you know what I mean? It's just too much misinterpretation, right, all that, you know? It's just too, you know what I'm saying? I'd rather pick up the phone, hey, call me real quick, da 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 da, da. Mm-hmm. Boom, whatever. Right. So, you know, when it comes to some people that you have taken doses, remember, limit those phone calls, limit that phone call, you know what I'm saying? Like, limit them phone calls, child. Limit that phone call duration.
Limit it.
You know what I'm saying? So, it's like, just that, and just, you know, also, I have to realize that people have their own issues, and, you know, it's not all, you know, people may act out against you, and it's not always about you, it's about them.
Yes.
And also, like, I have to realize that I need to, you know, if people act a certain way and want to go about things a certain way, or they want to leave your, they want to leave your energy bubble because of whatever they want to, like, you know, whatever, let them. Mm-hmm. Okay, bye.
Goodbye.
You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, that's, you know, mainly like the last, you know, this past week was a number on me, like, just like real heavy. But the past few weeks, it just been like a thing of like, I have to like be my, like, I'm just really just, you know, downloading myself and just like really trying to just reprogram my thinking and just be more intentional. Like, when it comes to the relationships, like, you know, I don't think that I've had my fun when it comes to different, like, you know, intimate partners and just, I'm being real transparent right now. But I've had my fun, like, you know, with dabbling or just, you know, messing around with people or things like that. But, you know, I'm 30 now and I do want to have, you know, XYZ in my life. I do want to, you know, be a mom one day. I do want to have like a life partner one day. I do want to have my own family one day. So it's like, I need to be more intentional about who I am intimate with, or who I choose to, like, you know have relations with. Because, you know, you sit there and you mess around with people hoping that you can like change their mind about it, or hoping that, oh, they'll choose me to whatever, you know. And it's just not that. And then now you're just mad because you're annoyed because they're just being themselves when they always were themselves. You just were looking at it, you know, just,
yeah, I know.
Things like that. So yeah, I'm just really trying to practice being more intentional. Right. And even on this show, like, you know, I want this show to live out to its fullest potential. And I just feel like, you know, we first started, like, our very first episode was in like late 2018. And so, like, from then on, we were just like working out the kinks, and like it was a lot of trial and error, because I've never like done a podcast, but like I've really had to sit and like learn and just like trial and error. I feel like now, like, I finally have, like, on the technical side, you know, in 2023, like, I finally have like the groove of it, like, on the technical side of things. But now on the front end, when it comes to just like the content and just like, you know, like, I have a structure, cool, I'm cool, but when it comes to like my interviews and just like trying to like elevate it, I think that I want to be more intentional on who I have on the show.
That's important.
I feel like, you know, everyone, this, don't get me wrong, everyone that I've had on this show thus far, like, I am grateful for, and I've been like, no one sits here on this couch with me that I'm not a fan of. So I'm a fan of everyone that's been on my show, and I'm, you know, I'm grateful and appreciative. But now I just feel like I want to be more intentional. I want to just like reach for the stars when it comes to, I want to be, you know, I want to really want to take that next big step. Okay. So I do want to have like, you know, like, and, you know, DMV has like a few people, you know, a few like people in the entertainment industry that are successful that are from here. So it's like, I want to reach out to people to come on the show. You know what I'm saying? Like, people that, you know, are in a more successful space and a more visible space. So I think I'm going to really try. Well, I am. I'm going to do that. From now on, I'm going to do that. So, you know, I'm saying this right now. So, hopefully, you know, soon you'll see someone on this couch, you know, people on this couch, you know, that you may know, like, you know, yeah, that's how I feel. That's how I feel, because, you know, I think that I've done a lot of interviews with a lot of like up and coming artists, a lot of upcoming creatives in the area. I've done so many of them. I feel like I've done my due diligence, and I feel like it's okay to like reject some requests.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Because, no, I want to get such and such. You know what I'm saying? I want to get so and so. So I'm going to focus on getting so and so and them on the show. You know what I'm saying?
Intentional.
I think that, honestly, I think that I'm just as good as, like, the viral podcasters and, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm, like I said, I'm being more intentional and I'm going to work towards, you know, that level. And I just wanted to say that because I'm speaking things into existence.
I'm glad you're finally realizing it now.
Realize what?
Your own power.
My power?
Yes.
What you mean?
That's it. Your power.
Yeah, yeah. I had, like I said, like, I saw something. I actually saw, you know, another podcast in the DMV area, like, that I'm cool with those hosts and stuff. I'm really cool with them, and they're doing a really great job. And they have a bigger platform. Like, they, you know, their numbers are bigger and things like that. And they had someone. They had, like, a celebrity on their show recently. And, you know, it was the fact that, like, damn, they got someone of that stature on their show. What the F am I doing wrong? Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm saying this, I'm not being a hater, I'm being transparent. I had a moment of, like, damn, I'm doubting myself. And then also, if you know, early on, you know, The structure is, you know, the whole setup of the show is basically kind of the same. It's similar to what it was when I first started. But we used to do, we used to have a quote at the end of each episode, like a positive quote, more of like an affirmation, more of like an uplifting quote. So I'm gonna bring that back. At the end of this episode, I'm gonna say a quote. So from now on, every episode, I'm gonna end it off with a positive quote. That's what I'm going to do.
Amen.
Yes. So, yeah, I'm gonna do that.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
How you feel about that, J-Rob?
I feel great. Now we got to get Oprah. Let's get it.
Get Oprah. Ah! That is hilarious. Yeah. Yes. okay. So, before I get into the topics and stuff, I want to mention a few quick things, I have my little pre-mentions before the topic or whatever. The topic section. But okay, so we finally know what Rihanna and ASAP Rocky named their baby boy. Is RZA, of course, after RZA from the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cute. I think that's cute. I'm wondering though, when the baby's growing up, like, you know, like, I always wonder, like, when people name their children, you know, like, unusual names, like, you know, non-traditional names, it's like, I wonder, like, how that goes when they're growing up and have to realize, okay, my name isn't that normal. Let me make sure that I understand my name. Or like when kids, like little kids, like when they're kids and like, your name's what? How do you say that? You know, things like that. I just always wondered that, like when people have like unusual names, like how was it when they were growing up?
We gotta ask somebody.
Talk to somebody with an unusual name. Because my name was pretty,
everybody got your name.
It was at least 5 Danielle's every class I was in. Every grade, it was like 3 Danielle's in my class.
All the same nickname.
Yeah, right? So, anywho. Yeah. So, they're holding, Natalie Nunn has, she did a whole Bad Girls Club reboot type of thing for the Zeus Network, as you all know. And so, now what she does is, you know, she is... Every season, it's like they're in a new city or whatever, or they're in a new region.
Audition stuff.
Yeah. So they're new. So this time around is going to be called Baddies. So you know, she had a Baddies West, Baddies whatever. So now this time around, it's called Baddies East. So I'm guessing like they're going to be on the East Coast, like, you know, whatever. So they were holding auditions in D.C. this past weekend, like maybe 2 weeks, like last weekend. So Black Chyna, Tokyo Toni, Ruby Rose, Natalie Nunn, and like the other girls from the show, they were like judges or whatever. And it was a hot ass mess. They had the auditions down in Tyson's Corner. It was a hot ass fucking mess.
I know.
And you know, J Rob, you know, I was told that, you know, a lot of, you know, they are, and I think, you know, lucrative, like monetary wise, it's a smart thing that what Natalie is doing when it comes to like holding these auditions. Mm-hmm. These auditions. It's smart because, you know, I was told that, you know, they'll hold auditions for whatever place they're in, but they already have their cast.
Oh yeah,
they already have their cast. Right, so like the audition thing is kind of like a promo for them, kind of.
Exactly.
Because when she was holding those auditions at Tyson's Corner, she was here like for 3 days. So I think the auditions were on Saturday. Mm-hmm. in Tyson's Corner in Virginia, like, you know, D.C. area of Virginia. So, but on Friday, she had, like, a club booking in Baltimore. Then Saturday was the auditions in D.C., you know, V8, Tyson's Corner. Mm-hmm. And then she also had a club booking in D.C. after the auditions. And then, like, the next day, it was somewhere else, too, in the area. Mm-hmm. So, it's, like, it's smart to, like, as promo, it's smart. You know, but, you know, they already have those their cast members picked out already. And when it comes to those, in my opinion, just from what I've observed, like when it comes to those shows like the Bad Girls Club or whatever, or like mm-hmm. The Real World, or like not The Real World, because I think they actually do pick people that are random, but like the Bad Girls Club, or just like there's a lot of these different shows we see, like like the Love is Blind, or like the, or like just a lot of these shows nowadays, usually it's like people are already kind of in the industry a little bit, or they're trying to get their foot in the industry. So they have publicists, they have managers that are like, they're getting them slots on these reality shows and things like that. So I think, in my opinion, like I don't watch too much of the baddies on the Zeus Network, but it just seems like a lot of these people, they're trying to get their foot in, and they already have like people that are like, you know, funneling them in, you know, through, you know, publicist, manager, whatever. Like with Rolly has been on like Jerry Springer in the past. Like she's been doing different TV things before she was even on the baddies. So it's like these people already have like that pull when it comes to whatever. So these auditions, child, y'all went out there and looked at a hot ass mess. It was so bad. They looked a hot ass mess. I'm like, y'all really sitting here making it seem like DC is like a hot ass mess like this when it comes to like the girls were busted. Like a lot of the girls were busted in those auditions. It was a lie. I'm like, girl, what the fuck? What is this? No.
Oh man.
Anywho, and then so Beyonce started her Renaissance tour. Mm-hmm. And of course, like people are uploading clips of the show, and right, people are live streaming the show on their Instagram lives and all types of shit. Because you know she's in Europe right now, and you know I'm like, you know what? I don't care. I'm gonna still go to the concert. Because I want my ticket. I'm still going, and I'm gonna still act shocked and surprised. I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna have a good grand time. But I think I'm sure that she's gonna have like little different surprises when she hits the North American leg of the tour. So. I'm sure that she has no opener, because you know I was on this couch swaying up and down like she's gonna have Chloe. She's gonna have. I just knew she was gonna have Chloe open for her, but she doesn't have an opener. But I'm sure that she's gonna bring out Chloe at one of those stops. Like she, I think for the North American part of the tour, she's gonna have special guests, in my opinion, because why not?
It's only right.
You have no opener. Why not? And then also, she's been putting out remixes, like the Cuff It remix. That was a really big deal. She did that. And she also just put out the America Has a Problem remix with Kendrick Lamar. Did you hear it?
Nah.
It came out last night. It was a surprise drop. Yeah, so he's on the remix of America Has a Problem from the album. Okay. And I just feel like there's more coming. I wouldn't be shocked. I would be shocked, but I wouldn't be shocked. But I would be happy if Megan Thee Stallion probably hopped on one of her songs as a remix. Why
That's
not?
Possible.
And then, like, also, when you hit up Houston, like, when you stop at Houston, like, come on, bring on Megan. Like, I just feel like there's more surprises to come.
It is.
And I feel like the North American leg of the tour, like, I feel like it's going to be different stuff happening. So, it's going to be lit. And I'm happy. And I'm at the point where, damn, I'm like, I got to plan it. I feel like it's a whole event now. Me and my friend, we going together, and we was like, we might have to, we figuring out outfits and all types of shit. We gonna do our makeup real nice. She get her makeup done. I'm figuring out outfits. I might get a fresh sew-in. I'm in between hairstyles right now, as you can see. But I'm trying to figure out whether I should get braids or bundles. I don't know. I'm figuring it out, but it's gonna be a situation. And I'm definitely going to, my outfit is definitely going to be Renaissance inspired. I want to have some sequins somehow. And I'm thinking I want to get a fan, like the little fan thing. Like a bedazzled fan. I might have to make it. I don't know. I have to figure it out. But
just get some.
It's going to be a good grand time. It's going to be a great time. I asked LaVonda if I could park in her, because, you know, we used to live where she lives at now.
Right.
I used to live there too, in that same complex. And I was going to ask her if I could borrow her parking pass so I can just park in her at her apartment and then just walk across the street to the venue.
She let you.
She said yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to do that. It's going to be so fun. I'm going to be so fucking fried. It's going to be so fucking lit. Like the Renaissance tour happening in the summertime, it's going to be so fun. Oh, my God. And then, like, hopefully... hopefully my so I, you know, I when it came to my birthday, my 30th birthday this past April, I kept it pretty light. I still had fun. It was still a situation, but I kept it pretty light. I didn't go out of the country because like I had just moved, so it was like my money was tied up in my new place and things like that. And then on top of that, like it's just a lot going on, so I couldn't really like pack on like going out the country. But all my other friends, they're turning 30 this year too, so it's like they're planning on doing out of the country stuff, which is great because we're all, you know, we all turn 30 the same year. Cool. So one of my friends who turns 30 in November, she's thinking about planning a Jamaica trip. So I'm definitely down for that.
Jamaica.
Yeah. I've never been to Jamaica. Well, I've been to Trinidad before, but I've never been to Jamaica before. I'm fucking lit. Wagwan. Anywho, so let's on to the topics real quick, and we can get out of here. I'm fucking playing, but no. So a couple things for the I have to name the section pop culture.
No, I thought we had a name.
What was the name? I don't want to say hot topics. That's just so like everyone says hot topics.
It was something with her or something.
No, that was for like the TV and shows, the music set, heard, seen, and heard. No, I gotta freaking come up with whatever. Anyway, the pop culture section of the show. Okay, so did you hear about like, first of all, I'm gonna just, whatever. Did you hear about Jonathan Majors and Megan Good dating? You heard about that?
I heard about it.
Yeah, right? It was like weird. Like they were spotted out having dinner on such and such in LA and blah, 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 blah. I don't know if, I don't understand it. People said things like this has to be a PR stunt. I'm not disagreeing with that. I love Jonathan and I love Megan. I don't know. This is kind of strange at this point where it's getting out right now. And then plus like all the stuff that he's going through, he's just being out and about, but I guess you can still live your life, but okay. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Is this like a PR situation? Like, I don't know. I mean, I would like for them to be genuine, but it's just like with what's going on right now, it just seems kind of odd. I don't know. But then also, now that I'm on this topic real quick on Megan real quick, is everything good? I don't like how, you know, ever since, her and her husband parted ways, her husband, Devon Franklin, and he's a because I met them before at they did an appearance at City of Praise Church in Glen Auden. I met them before. They're really nice. I didn't know Megan Good was that short, but they're really nice. She's shorter than me. I didn't know. I thought she would be like my height. Yeah. I didn't know that she was like that. She's not like a short, but she's like shorter than me, and I'm only like 5'7". But you know, they're really nice. But you know, ever since, you know, because he's a pastor. Minister, you know, he's in the church, guys. But ever since they split up, you know, people have been saying, like, "Oh, she gave up God and she's for the streets again," and da da da. Just giving her a hard time for just embracing herself and just being her because she divorced a freaking like minister. Like what? Like it just, I don't like that at all. That's just, the jokes are getting old and I'm tired of seeing them. It's just like, leave her alone. She's still a woman of God. It's just like, why y'all keep, like, it's just weird. That's all I had to say. I'm like, what? I don't like that at all. So Summer Walker. Okay, so I'm not going to talk about the Chris Brown Usher thing because it's just been a week now and I don't care that much, and then I'm over it, and then I just don't care. But the Lovers and Friends Festival happened this past weekend or 2 weekends ago. And, you know, it was a whole big lineup and stuff. And, Usher, you know, he brought out a few R&B girls on his set. And I believe he brought out Summer Walker. And, you know, with Summer Walker, she is very introvert when it comes to being on stage. You know, we don't really get like a lot out of her. Like, you know, when it comes to, you know how it is, watch some rock on stage, right. People always critique her stage presence. And, I've actually seen Summer Walker live before at Broccoli Fest. And I wasn't mad about it. Like, it was cool. Like, she has like a whole like stage set up. Like, you know, she has like the plants and like the chair, the big chair and stuff. You know, the stage always looks nice. And, you know, it was an R&B show. When I was at Tim Walker, her set, I enjoyed myself. She sang, you know, it was a vibe. I enjoyed myself. So, personally, I've experienced a nice Summer Walker set at a festival. But online, you know, she has like hits and misses. You know, she is just sometimes she has like awkward moments on stage where she's just not moving around. She's just not moving and just not really working the stages, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I guess she was just tired of people saying things online because when Usher brought her out for his set, because they have that song together. When Usher brought her out on his set, I guess, you know, she was just standing still and just like, you know, and Usher, he's a showman, you know, he's going to be glad back and forth, and you know, it could be a slow R&B song, he's still going to work with it, he's still going to work the stage and stuff, so it was like, you know, so in contrast to her standing there and just like, you know, singing and just being, you know, just being awkward a little bit, and him just glad, it looks like, girl, like, you're not performing, like, what are you doing, you're just standing there being weird.
Yeah, move.
That's what, you know, whatever, but, so she called wind of that again, and she was saying, like, she was on Instagram Live and was just like mocking people, saying like, you know, I always see that, like, what do y'all want me to do? I don't make that kind of music. What do you want me to do? You want me to twerk on stage while I'm singing a slow love song? Like, she was just acting a fool, doing splits, twerking, like, this is what y'all want me to do. Y'all want me to do splits and twerking, you know, just doing some outrageous shit to her slow ass music, right? Just trying to prove a point and stuff. But you know, I think that I didn't really pay. I never really cared that much to type a negative thing about her stage presence. I just would see things, think it, and then just move along because I didn't really care that much. Also, I didn't experience that during my Summer Walker experience. Right. But girl, you know what they meant. Like, it don't matter if you sing slow songs. You can still work the stage somehow. You can still perform. You can still have some sort of stage presence. I've been to a Jasmine Sullivan concert. Jasmine Sullivan, she sings slow R&B love songs, and she still works the stage somehow. She still gives a performance some way, somehow. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
you still move.
I think that she was just purposely missing the point, or didn't care, or just was like, whatever. But it's like, come on, like, you know what they meant, like, you know what I mean? And honestly, J-Rob, you know, we all have our artists where we have our particular artists for particular things. Mm-hmm. Like, for me personally, I'm going to spend a coin on a Beyonce show because I know what I'm getting.
Right.
I'm going to spend coin on a Beyonce show every single time because I know what she gives. She's going to give me a show. Beyonce is going to perform. So I'm going to spend my coin. Okay? All right.
That's a fact.
Tyler, who's a rapper.
Perform.
Tyler, the Creator. I'm going to pay ever since Flower Boy came out. Every concert that he has had in the DMV area I've been to, I'm going to spend my money. I'm going to drive to the show because I'm going to get a show. He's not a dancer. He doesn't give you an 8 count, but he's a performer. He's a showman. I'm going to get production. I'm going to get a show. I'm going to get engagement from him. I'm going to get a show. So I'm going to pay a coin for Tyler, the Creator. I'm going to pay a coin for Megan Thee Stallion. I'm going to pay a coin for Doja Cat because I know what they're going to give. I pay coin for a Jasmine Sullivan show because I've been to a Jasmine Sullivan show. She's R&B. She's like deep R&B. Like, she makes you feel like she's like R&B. Like, she's like traditional, like, R&B girl. She gives a show. And I saw Jasmine Sullivan at the Anthem. The Anthem ain't no huge, huge, huge venue. And she still made it. She did what needed to be done. She performed. So it's like, we have our artists where we know what they're going to give. Summer Walker, like I said, I didn't have a bad experience. Like, it was still chill. She wasn't doing too much. It was still chill, but I enjoyed it. But I don't expect much from her because the artist she showed, that's who she is. Cool. Even with, like, Ice Spice, people complain about how, you know, they love her music and stuff. She has cute bops, but the stage presence is like, whoa, it needs a lot of work. So right now, you know, Ice Spice is a new artist, so, you know, I'm not going, if you guys noticed, like, I don't really critique her too hard yet because she's new, she just came out, she has bops and stuff like that. But like, right now, I'm honestly wouldn't pay for a solo Ice, like, an Ice Spice show right now. I wouldn't go to it right now because I feel like she still needs to work out some kinks when it comes to her stage presence. And also, and you know, I have said this before on the show, you know, everyone doesn't need to give an A count. I don't expect Ice Spice, because a lot of these rap girls, they want to give up. They want to give A counts nowadays, and sometimes the A counts don't match up with the people. So you know, it'd be awkward. Like, you know what I'm saying? But right. Megan Thee Stallion, she's good for an A count. Like, you know, she's going to give you a show. Lotto was real good for. Lotto has really good stage. Like, she's a really good performer.
She's a good performer.
Great performer. Cool, the Ray's a great performer. Yeah. She gives you like a little A count, but nothing too crazy. But you know, with Ice Spice, you don't have to give me an A count, but it's still ways that you can have stage presence without the gimmicks or whatever. I'm not saying that people have gimmicks, but you know what I mean. Like, you don't have to do too much when it comes to like the dance, You know, you don't have to give a full out choreo. You can probably have some dancers behind you, but it's the fact that like even when you have dancers behind you, sometimes people can still be awkward on the mic. It's still like a thing. It's still some kinks that need to be worked out. Right. But when I think of, you know, just for me, you know, like I said, like I'm not a, you know, dance if you're a dancer. Cool. Great. Do that. But if it's not your thing, don't do it. And you don't have to do it to demand. You don't have to be demanding on stage. Because I think of Jay-Z all the time. Jay-Z could be on the stage by himself. Big ass stage by himself. And still, he could still move the crowd. He could still command the attention.
Right.
You can do that. So find that. Summer Walker, Ice Spice. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to bust it open, do a split, do an A count. There's a way that you can still be captivating without the usual, you know, gimmick thing or whatever.
Right.
Because Jay-Z, I've seen Jay-Z, not in real life, but I've seen enough video footage. Have I seen Jay-Z live? Oh, I have never seen Jay-Z live. Wow.
Probably a Beyonce concert coming up. You will.
Live in person? No, I don't think so.
You never know.
Have I ever seen Jay-Z live? No, I haven't seen him live. Not that I think of right now. But I've seen enough Jay-Z performances where it'll be a big-ass stage. Sometimes when we don't band, he'll be by himself, and he will still rock the crowd.
Rock it, yeah.
So it's just, you just have to just, I guess it just has to be like a genuine energy in you, mm-hmm. or a genuine aura in you,
right.
that just demands that, you know, that commands the stage.
That's, you gotta work at that.
So yeah.
You gotta work at that.
Yeah. Is this issue?
Yeah.
Every time I talk, my nose does like a weird, like stuffy thing. Okay, so I are you familiar with Travis Barker?
Yeah, for sure.
You like him?
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever remixed any of his songs? Have you ever sampled any of his songs or any of his drums and things? No.
Nope.
No.
I need to though.
It'd be cool, right? Okay. Anyway, so
fire drummer.
I bring him up because his daughter, Alabama Barker, you know, she is getting into music now. And this is the thing, right? This is the thing, guys. Of course, you know, she's a white girl and thing. And you know, this is the thing. This is the thing. You know, I've always believed that black culture was always the driving force behind pop culture in general. But you know, nowadays black influence is just more evident, mm-hmm. especially with like the TikTok era when it comes to like, you know, the non-black kids. You know, it just, you know, it black culture is it just black or black influence has become more evident nowadays in the social media space, mm-hmm. in my opinion. I hope I'm reading that right. I promise I'm smart. But no, so you know, with Alabama, she hangs out with Jordan Woods' little sister. Like, they're like Jordan Woods' little sister is Jody Woods. So like Jody Woods and Alabama Barker, like they're like the younger version of Kylie and Jordan when they were like, you know, it's a cute little thing. It's a cute little comparison on TikTok. But so Alabama is getting into music, getting into rapping, and she dropped a snippet online this past week. And you know what? I'm going to play a little snippet of it real quick, and hopefully you can hear it. I actually, you know, I like it. I'm going to play it real quick.
Play that drum.
I like it. It's cute. It's really cute. It's cute. I'm going to play it right now. Hope you can hear it, J-Rob.
We ain't together when I'm with him. He know I'm the realest. Ain't got no opposition. All these bitches in their feelings. But listen, who the fuck y'all talking to? I'm Alabama, get to know me, I might spaz on you. I'm walking in and 20 bitches staring, yeah, I'm cool. I know I smell so good, it's Baccarat and Clee perfume. Yeah, treat me like your mama, drip me out of some designer. Ask me, I'm like, why I'm wildin'. You know the type of energy, don't treat me like it's tending me. You better not be texting, treat your exes like they enemies. Just pick up when I'm calling.
This is cute. I think it's cute. I don't care. I think it's cute. I like it.
Sounded cool.
It was cool. Okay.
A little rapping melody.
So, like I said, nowadays, you know, like, because it's very, like, when you see a white girl, when you see a white girl with, like, a lace front and, like, the overlined lip with the puffy lip, you know, just, like, when you say, oh, black fishing, black da-da-da-da, blah-da-da, oh, they're hanging out with black girls. They want to be like, no, it's easy to and I, you know what, listen, don't get me wrong. I, like, when it's used right, I love a good, like, race bait. Like, I love a good, like, you know, like, you're racist. Like, I love that. Mm-hmm. Only when it's, like, done right. So don't get me, like, you know, like, listen, like, don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, like, I'm always down for a good, like, you're racist, you're whatever, but just be wise. Like, I'm good, I'm down with it when it makes sense, you know what I'm saying? But with this, like I said, you know, I just feel like this era of, you know, the Gen Z's, and it's like, you know, it's just, you know, it's just, it's, you know, black influence, and, you know, like, urban culture, hip-hop culture, it's just more evident, and it's just, you know, it's just is what it is. But also, and I think she has, like, a little black boyfriend or whatever, or, like, a little black little piece that she got going on or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like I said, I like the snippet. It was cute. And then also, guys, her father is a rock star. Like, her father is literally a fucking rock star. Right. You don't think that, like, if you're a rock star, you have children, you don't think that your kids are going to, like, kind of, like, maybe like music, too? They're kind of maybe, like, you know, you don't think that if you're a rock star, you're a musician, you know, if someone's a musician, you don't think their kids, you know, may kind of want to do music too. So
most,
like,
most likely.
And the thing is too, like, the rap, like I said, I don't, and also I don't care who wrote it. I don't care who wrote it for her. If she could have wrote it, I don't care. If she didn't write it, I don't care either. But if she had bars, it was cute. The cadence was cute. She has cute delivery. And the harmony was cute. The little melody she did was cute. It was cute. It was a cute snippet. I liked it.
It didn't sound bad.
I thought it was cute. I liked it.
For what it is, it didn't sound bad.
I liked it. It's cute. I think it's cute. I'm down for it. Like I said, like, it's just like, y'all, it's the, oh, she's trying to be black and she's trying to da 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 da, like, whatever. Like I said, I'm always down for that, guys, but you guys have to pick and choose when you want to use that. You can't just throw that. You can't just throw the race card out there. All just got to be smart with it. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that she was being too, like I said, I do recognize the black influence in a lot of, like, different creatives and, you know, young people and things like that. But I think that this was a cute snippet. I think that it was definitely appropriate. She ain't tossing out the N-word left and right. That's another important thing. So I think that it was an appropriate song or snippet so far of what I've heard. It's cute. She's a cute little girl. And I can't wait to hear more. Like, listen, if she drops some more heat, I might, you know, stream some stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm down. But I'm not going to hate on her because she's white and she's rapping. Like, how many white rappers are out there? Come on now. Like, stop. And then, plus, like I said, her dad's a fucking rock star. Like, you don't think that her dad's kids are going to be into music? Like, shut up. Literally. So, I'm down for this. It's cute. What do you think, J-Rob?
Let her do her thing.
Yeah.
I'll see what comes out of it.
It's cute.
I mean, like you said,
Travis
Barker, bro. Like,
yeah.
He plays,
like,
drums.
What?
He plays drums for a living. He probably plays, she probably heard him drums all.
And I think he has, like, a label too.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he's in the music industry. I'm sure he probably heard it first and just gave his little suggestions, his feedbacks. You know, just like, y'all, like,
he probably recorded it.
Chill. Anyway. Oh yeah, he probably did engineer it. He probably did record that shit. But yes, so my last topic is like a little two layer situation, because it's like the same thing. So this past week, there has been mention of Gabrielle Union and Savannah James. So with Savannah James, she's LeBron James's wife, of course. So it says LeBron James's wife, Savannah James, says she just wanted to focus on being a great mom and supporting her husband when asked why she keeps a low profile while other NBA players' wives opt to go on reality TV, becoming influencers, and build brands. And so people, of course, they're going to have their feedback on that. And, you know, like, her being able to be like a full time, you know, being able to fully focus on her kids and her marriage and mm-hmm. just being like the support for her husband and her family. People always have something to say about that, you know, and just like, it was like mixed reviews here and there, whatever. But here's the thing. You know, when it comes to, you know, situations like this, it's all, like, I don't see, like I said, I'm not a mother yet, but you know, I could imagine like my husband being this literally this success, like one of the greatest NBA players of all time, being a billionaire, and I wouldn't have to work. So I can just, like, you're rich as fuck. We're rich. Our family's rich. I can focus on, we're so rich, I can focus on you guys 100%. Yeah, hell yeah. Like, instead of me having to have my own separate job and have my own focus elsewhere, why not be focused on my family? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see anything wrong with that at all. That's his oldest son.
Yeah.
Okay. He just committed to USC, I believe.
Yeah, USC.
And I remember when they were scouting for him, they were trying to like get him to commit to certain, you know, they were scouting for him and asking him to, you know, get to commit to whatever school. Mm-hmm. One rep, like I guess one, like, what do you call like the basketball scout? It's called scout.
Yeah.
I guess one of them were like
recruiter,
whatever. Mm-hmm. So one of them, I remember one of them, they were like annoyed and upset because they were trying to get in touch with Bronny. And they were mad that it took, they were like, you know, why would I have to set up an appointment? You know, because they were mad that they would have to set up an appointment through the publicist to talk to the mom regarding Bronny.
That's how they run.
Right. So, you know, of course, so she is really hands on. Like, she's the one conversing and discussing, like, you know, deals and the business side when it comes to Bronny, because Bronny is he's about to be a big deal too, and he just committed to USC. But you know, like, this is reminding me of that in that instance, because that recruiter was upset and was like, why do I have to make an appointment to talk to two people, and I can't talk to him directly, like, why, da-da-da-da, whatever. But it's like, she's hands-on with her kids. Like, this is her family is rich as fuck. Her family's not like another, her family's not like any other family. So she has to support that. You know what I'm saying? Like, she is going to be hands on, because her family is her family, but it's a business. Her son is about to enter, and her son is LeBron James. Her son is LeBron James. You're married to LeBron James, and your son is LeBron James. So it's like, she needs to be a full-time mom. You need to be a full-time mom, a public manager, whatever you got to be. Like, you know what I'm saying? She don't have to. A lot of these women that go on these reality shows, they do it because they have to. They do. You would not, like, we don't see, like, it's always like a retired, and this is no shade at all. Should I even say this?
Yeah.
Damn.
Put reality check.
Usually, you know, when they're on the show, like, aside from Shawnee, because Shawnee's the creator of the show, but you know, usually, you know, these women, you know, their men are retired players. They're not in the league anymore, and they don't make LeBron James money anyway. Brad and Mike. But no, that brings me to my next point of so Gabrielle Union, she just did an interview, and. So the response to this was the exact opposite. Like, people were upset about Savannah James, you know, being able to be a full-time mother, manager, publicist. But let me just play this snippet, because Gabrielle Union, she was actually on an interview. And she said this when it came to her household finances. This is what Gabrielle Union had to say.
Did you develop that first sense of security?
In this household, we split everything 50-50. But in the other households that each of us have to support, it puts this, there's always this like gorilla on your back that it is like, you better work, bitch. You better work. You know, you gonna sleep in? You know, somebody might not eat.
Did you
develop? So when she said this, I didn't watch the whole interview because I don't have to, and this is still my point still is valid with this. So what she was saying was, you know, she basically saying, like, you know, we split our bills 50-50 in the household. We're fine. But it's the fact that, like, we have, you know, other people outside of the household depend on us as well. So it's like she's afraid of, you know, her having her being rich and successful is still not comforting to her. You know, it's still not. She still is worried about her finances and being able to provide.
Yeah, just everybody's situation is just a bigger problem.
Yeah, because you know, you want to be able to still sustain your lifestyle and, you know, still, you know, help other people out. But, you know, people are saying like, oh, why are they splitting it 50-50 if Dwayne Wade makes so much money and da 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 and why da 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 and why she's so pressured to da 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 all this dumb shit. Why can't they split the household 50-50? What's wrong with that?
Some people pay everything.
They both rich. Her and Dwayne. I mean, Dwayne Wade. You know, they're both rich though, and they're both successful. They're both still relevant after all these years in the industry. They are both still relevant to entertainment today. Why can't they split 50-50? And then also, you know, they're so blessed and fortunate that they're able to help their other. Because she said, you know, she said in the clip, she was like, you know, we support other households. So I'm guessing, you know, Dwayne probably supports, you know, his other children's mothers, and, you know, she probably supports her other family members and, like, her maybe her parents or just, you know, other people, you know, that her loved ones.
It can get expensive.
It's still because the thing is, like, you know, you can be rich and famous one day, but you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. You never know what can happen.
Right.
But, like, but my whole thing is, like, the responses from the Savannah James situation and then the Gabrielle Union situation that happened within a week of each other, it's like no one can ever just be happy. Like, why? What's the problem?
Nobody's never happy on social media.
Savannah James is like I said, Savannah James is married to one of the most successful NBA players, but also one of the greatest NBA players of all time.
Yes.
And she doesn't have to lift a finger. They're that successful, that blessed, that fortunate that she doesn't have to lift a finger if she doesn't want to. But she's also, you know, they also got there to that comfortable financial place with one another. They both worked, you know, and got that. Yeah, I don't know. People just, it's just, I think do whatever works for you and your family.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So, and you know, like, and honestly, like money isn't everything, because on the Savannah end of things, definitely, you know, they're very well off financially, mm-hmm. but the fact that she was always there for her husband as a support system, and the fact that she's there for her children as a support system, you know, that is worth more than whatever person you can hire to do that job, or, you know what I'm saying? Right. When it comes to Gabrielle Union. Yeah, you guys are both successful in your own right, and you guys are both well off in your own right, but you still have those fears of, you know, things crumbling down and you not being able to provide for your family and others that depend on you.
Yeah, everybody got that. Everybody.
So this brings me back to the whole, like, guys, social media isn't real. You know, live your life and do what's best for you. And just be really seriously have that mental discipline of just doing what's right for you and not worrying about how it looks on the outside to others, because how it looks on the outside to others never really matters. What only matters is what's going on in real life, in your life.
Exactly. Amen.
Anywho. And that was the end of my topics. So we're going to move on to the segment of the show where we discuss TV and music and things like that. Seen and Heard is what I call the segment. I'm going to do a soundbite at some point. J-Rob, I have to figure out a soundbite at some point.
I'm going
to
make a beat.
So only two things, though. Summer Walker just released her EP, her project called Soft Life 2. I'm sorry, Clear 2, The Soft Life. I haven't listened to it yet. I plan on doing it, but she put out a video for the song Pull Up, featuring Miles Truitt and Lil Meech, aka B Mickey and Meech from BMF. So that's pretty fun. And she's dating Meech as well in real life, I think. So that's pretty cute. And then Beyonce just dropped a remix of America Has a Problem with Kendrick Lamar on it. That's cool too. And that's all I can think of when it comes to the music part of things. I'm still waiting on some new Doja Cat. I think she's about to drop a video soon. I'm still waiting on the new Cardi B. Like, Cardi B needs to drop an album. Like, girl, like, it's been years. Like, you haven't dropped a sophomore album yet. I'm waiting on Megan Thee Stallion. I'm waiting for you, because I see you popping out, taking pictures and stuff, so that means something's coming. And then, who else am I waiting for? I don't know. Ice Spice did a Billboard. She did an interview for Billboard. She was on Billboard. She was on the cover of Billboard magazine as well. She was saying that they're going to actually. This is a good question for you, J. Rob. But they're going to actually. They're going to release an extended EP, like a deluxe EP.
Okay.
What is that? I never heard of a deluxe EP, because an EP is not an album, right?
Nah.
But a deluxe EP, is a deluxe EP an album? Like, what is a deluxe EP?
You remember, I think they did that with So Far Gone. I think they did that. They did like a deluxe version of that joint. But I don't know. I think it's just more songs.
Yeah, it's more songs, yeah. but like, because what makes an album? How many songs? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, is it still, so the deluxe EP, is it still less than an album?
It's probably a little. Well, how many songs on her EP right now?
Her EP only got like, maybe, I think, let me see. Her EP is like literally like 15 minutes long. And it's bop, bop, bops. But let me see. I think it's like 7 songs.
Oh. Okay.
Let me check. Hold on. Boy's a liar. Oh, she probably gonna have that on there. On the deluxe. Her joint got 7 songs. It's 16 minutes long.
Oh, okay. Okay. So. Let's see what she do. It might be 9 songs then. I think it's 10 songs that it counts as an album, 10 or more. But some people do a little bit less than that.
So she going to do a deluxe EP. I think it's smart, though, because the EP is successful.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to just ride the wave out and just, like, you know, just, you know, do it that way.
Yeah, keep capitalizing.
But I was like, deluxe EP, what? And then she also mentioned that she is in full creative control of her music, that she owns her masters. And, you know, we always preach, you know, the music people always preach how it's important to own your masters. Mm-hmm. But also, like, you know, especially when you're successful, because, you know, you can own your masters all you want to, but if no one's listening to you, that really doesn't fucking matter. But she's successful enough to do that. But then also, it's, you know, it's the new thing where a lot of artists, you know, are selling their catalogs.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess, I'm guessing on the business end, you know, as the songs get older, it kind of depreciates maybe, or maybe, I don't know. Because I never really understood, like, the whole thing of, like, I mean, I always thought it had to be some sort of smart business deal for people to sell their, you know, catalogs for $300 million or whatever the fuck, like how Justin Timberlake did and Bieber. I think Bieber sold his catalog, and I think Shakira sold her catalog too, didn't she? I never really understood the business behind it fully, but I recognize that it probably was a good decision.
It is, because it's like, you just take that and you, if you want to invest in something else, you just sell that catalog and take that money, invest in what you wanted to invest in the first.
But versus you owning your masters and just owning it.
I mean, you still cashed out $300 million to invest in something else that can bring you $1 billion.
Mm.
You
know what I'm saying? Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That aspect of selling your masters. But then again, the terms could be different too.
Mm-hmm.
They could be licensing that drink for 10 years and then get it back, as opposed to, you know, selling it exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
If I got like a license and then get your ownership right back in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But you still cashed out to invest in another project.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing blows up. Who cares about them?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
It's an investment play for real. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Investment.
Mm-hmm.
So heard the podcast, pop off, sell it for it. You can license it, sell it, license for like however much you want. And mm-hmm. you take that money, invest in some other shit.
Mm-hmm.
You still got ownership in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got it.
You got it. Yeah. I learned so much from J. Rob is just so just informative. You know, you just always learn something every day with around J. Rob, you know? Anywho.
Thank you.
I don't really have any like movies. Well, actually, I watched The Strays on Netflix. That movie was crazy. Like, whoa. The ending was like, well, it was just like psychologically crazy. But, you know, you guys, I recommend The Strays on Netflix. I watched The Mother on Netflix as well with J-Lo in it. With J-Lo, I think that I like The Mother. I liked it. But you know what? And it was good quality, you know. I just feel like with J-Lo, like, it just, you know, she's really good for like a nice, like, cash grab movie. I'm not saying cash grab in a bad way. I'm just saying, like, you know those movies that literally subject matter that they remake a million times. Yeah, like it's like the movie is so predictable. I know it's gonna happen, but it's like cool because it's like it's different. It's a different actor this time and whatever. But we know what's gonna happen in the end. But like J-Lo's really good for that. Like she's really good for those predictable movies. Mm-hmm. But it's cool. Like it's her thing. Right. Like she's good for a cash grab movie. It's cool. Like, and I'm sure that Netflix bag was real cute. So no hate to you, sister, but. I'm just saying, like, you know, J-Lo was good for, like, one of those, like, you know, The Mother. She's good for Made in Manhattan or, like, Monster-in-Law or Enough. Like, she's good for those movies what was it, that movie that she was in where she was, like, having, like, sex with a student or whatever. Like, what was it called? Boy Next Door. Like, those, like, movies that, like, those, like, Lifetime-esque movies or, like, blockbuster movie, like, you know, just those like cash grab, like this is a predictable storyline, like we've done this so many times, but fuck it, J-Lo's in it, so like we're gonna, you know, whatever the fuck, you know what I'm saying? Because like The Mother
cash grab
is basically like, it's basically like you could name like three movies that are just like The Mother or like in some way, shape or form, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't know why, but Losing Isaiah pops in my head when I think of like the movie The Mother, or like just like, or like even with Holly Berry, she's good, you know, no shade to Holly, but she's Holly Berry girl, you're an icon, like you're a legend, you still fine wine, like you're everything. But you know, at one point Holly Berry was good for a cash grab movie, like when she was trying to find her son because they took her son, they kidnapped her son or whatever, that shit like that, or like the 911 movie, or like the, you know what I'm saying, that's like all, you know, just the predictable, you know, whatever, but it's cool because like they're like Hollywood royalty, so it's like whatever, and you know, my bad, so that. And so yeah, I watched The Strays, I watched The Mother like that. Oh, and I watched Queen Charlotte. I watched that. I never watched Bridgerton, but my friend Amanda was like, watch Queen Charlotte, da-da-da-da, because it was about the queen and Bridgerton, how she was young or whatever. So I watched that. It was cool. And then what else did I watch? Nothing else yet, but I'm getting back into my Netflix bag. Yes. And then also, my friend, she got us tickets to go see Little Mermaid. So next Saturday, so I'm excited for that.
That's dropping next Saturday.
Yes, and that's they were saying it brought them to tears, like people were crying, and it was such a good film, and you know, things like, so I'm happy, but I'm gonna be fried as shit in the movie theater. I'm good for being high as shit at the movies. I love it, and I'm good for bringing my little tote bag with my food in it, cause like, please, like the only thing that is reasonable, like the only thing that's like. I will buy popcorn from the theater. That's it. Like buying snacks and like other foods there is ridiculous. Like buying fruit snacks is like almost $10. A bag of fruit snacks that I can get for $2 at the damn 7-Eleven. It's just too much. It's ridiculous. So I'm going to go to Firehouse Subs, get me a sub, some chips, and I'm getting me cookies, and I'm going to get me a drink, and I'm going to put it in my purse.
$10.
And still spend under $15 with the food. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like you can sit there and spend $30 on food. At the theater, no.
Have you ate edibles at the theater?
I have not.
You should do that with Little Mermaid.
Not that. I think the edible thing, that could be cool for like a scary movie or something like that. I'd rather just be high at the theater. Yeah,
that's interesting. You should do that.
Yeah.
Tell me your experience.
And they have some good stuff coming out though this June. I just can't remember what it was, but it was one movie. It's one movie. That's coming out Juneteenth. It's like an all black cast, like a black horror movie, but like comedy a little bit. And Melvin Gregg, he's in it. And some other people are in it. It's like a lot of it's like a full black cast. And then Yvonne Orji, she's in it as well. So I'm excited for that. Oh, and then Gabrielle Union, she's about to have a Netflix movie come out with Keith Powers. I'm gonna watch that too. So it's a lot of things coming out this summer that I'm excited for. So
Netflix.
Yep. Anywho, so that's all for me. Like I said before, we're going to end every episode with a positive quote. So being that, you know, I had a rough couple weeks, I had to search for some affirmations. I had to really like center myself and just, you know. So I found this quote, and it says, if God blessed your neighbor, he's in the neighborhood. Boom. If God blessed your neighbor, then that means he's in the neighborhood. thank you guys for listening to Her the Podcast. Again, we are available on all podcast streaming platforms. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Her the Podcast, H-E-R-D the Podcast. Subscribe to us on YouTube. That's also important too. The YouTube numbers are going up. H-E-R apostrophe D the Podcast. Peace out, y'all. Bye.